G'day guys, we're listening to the G&JB show, series number 2. Jacko?
White Axe, how are you, mate?
Good, mate. Look, guys, we're going to talk about Jack's professional debut on February 22nd. Also, local boxing. It's a great listen. Make sure you tune in. Welcome to the G&JB show, series 2, episode number 2. We've got Jack Bowen. How are you, buddy?
Good, White Axe. How are you?
Good, mate. You've had a professional fight now.
Yeah.
How was it?
Yeah, mate. Good, yeah. So we're 1-0. Undefeated.
Undefeated? Is this where you retire with 100% undefeated record?
I might just leave it. One win, one KO. No losses.
You know, if Bernard Hopkins retired after his first fight, he'd have a 0% record because he lost his first pro fight.
Wouldn't have never got anywhere, would he? He'd be able to quit.
That's right. That's the message.
All done. So that was a massive build-up and great night. So
good.
Yeah, really happy with the result. Pretty happy with the performance as well. Like, can't knock a stoppage and taking my time, really adjusting into the pro style, which I feel like I had anyway, but to actually go out and do it. And
do more than 3 rounds too.
And feel like there was probably disguised it pretty well, but like everyone gave me feedback from the night. They're like, oh, you're just cruising. Oh, it looked like you let him off a few times.
Yeah, a few people said that to me.
No,
but
I just
it's
took
not
my
like
time.
That.
I was looking for the right shots. Mm. But there was a stage after the second round. I came back and I was like, oh, I'm a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, a bit gassed.
Yeah, not gassed, but just, like, I'd given a fair bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I knew I had another 4 rounds on top of what I just did. So I needed to, I said to you in the corner, all right, I think I went a bit hard then. And you said, let's take this round, relax, back fundamentals, same as your amateur boxing.
Exactly.
Which was just back to the jab. And then things started to open up from there. I did that in the fourth as well, came out smart and, like, slowed things down. And I'm glad I had that opportunity, which is credit to my opponent, because if he wasn't the man he was, he would have dropped earlier than that. Like, I hit him with some massive body shots, good head shots.
What about that left hook in the second round?
Oh, yeah.
Then after that, you jumped on his body. Yeah. Mate, he was a tough bastard, Matt Hackett. Mm. He was a real quality opponent
pretty
for your
first fight.
Pretty
solid boxer, too. Like,
yeah.
He had a really good dig. He didn't just curl over and cop a loss, which was, he came to win, and we could tell that when we went to the press conference. He said to you, this is a great experience for me. I'm going to really grab it with both hands and you know, take it to Jack. And that's the attitude you want in someone. You don't want, like, you can only do what's in front of you as well.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Work with who's there with me. But he really wanted to win, and he came for a challenge. And, yeah, credit to him as well. But it gave me an opportunity to sit down on my punches, work on things I've been working in sparring, like,
And
I made mistakes in there too, so I was able to make those mistakes, listen to you in the corner, fix the mistakes, and then got stoppage. So, yeah.
Well, that's it. Like, everybody was celebrating the ring, and on that video that was made, like, you can even still see us after the win. Everyone's cheering, everything. We're like, come on, you still got to fix this. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but that's real, isn't it? You know, that's the real. There's no point in going out celebrating with 4 days on the drink because you had your first it's the start of many. That's probably that might be about 7% of all your professional fights. Let's hope everything goes that way, you know.
And look, after watching some of the pro fights on the weekend, just seeing the punishment you take as a pro, and I know what those gloves feel like now. I don't want to be taking many shots to the head now, so
yeah, that's right.
Even if it takes me a few more rounds than needed, I don't want to get caught with anything stupid, and we did that Saturday.
I thought it was Saturday
before that. Now
it was. Yeah, I thought it was great. And you're back in training now.
Yeah, back today.
Well, you started on Friday, really, didn't you? Yeah. Did a little bit, but that's all good. We're back into it today.
Week off, and you know, I'm not much of a big drinker, but I have my odd night every now and then.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
This was just, I sat back. I think I watched it the next day, the Sunday. I rewatched it. Actually, it might have been Monday. Yeah, I had Sunday off. I didn't even think about boxing. And then Monday, I was back. I was glued to AFL TV again.
That's the way it is, yeah.
I was so excited about the night. And the thing, I still know I have so many things I'm yet to learn. And it's like a whole new game to me now.
Yeah, it's totally different, isn't it? You know, now you understand that it is a different game.
Yeah.
It is a different sport.
Oh, I hardly used to watch my amateur fights back or watch my opponents. Mm. But I was sitting there on the weekend watching Moses
Amatagi,
I was watching him, and I'm thinking, okay, well, you know,
he's at 24 or something that. Yeah.
You know, you're sitting there, you start thinking, oh, that could be a potential opponent in a couple of years.
That's right, yeah.
You watch Jay Mitchell, oh, what, he's at the top, so that's what it takes to get there.
That's right, and watch his opponent too.
Yeah, the opponent, and look, I thought that was good, like a good card, and I thought Jay might have just done enough to win that fight, but it just shows that on any given day you can be beaten, and look, hopefully he comes back from that. But yeah,
he was a strong boxer, that guy.
Yeah, he was good.
But you know, you could see glimpses of great skills. A couple of things that he did were just really, he didn't actually pull his shots back from his shoulder. He just shot him out like his, you know, like a good amateur would do. Really good technical things as well. Trying to walk Jay back a little bit, but look,
I guess we'll touch on that soon. I think we're going to talk about that in a minute. But the whole experience was great, and I think the occasion was very special as well. You know, pro debut card you've put on.
Yeah,
it meant a lot to us.
Yeah, it was good
as a team. And do you want to talk about some of the stresses you had in the build up?
Holy shit. Where do I start? So pretty much, there's the event. Had Matt Clark.
Thanks to Matt
as a match matchmaker. Thanks, Clarky. He was excellent, and had some great fights up. And pretty much most of them stayed together, except your one. Your one, we had an injury about 4 weeks out, or 4 or 5 weeks out, which.
Not me, by the way.
You know, you weren't injured. That's right. The opponent pulled out. Then we had. Mate, we had so many people. Oh yeah, I'll fight him, and then I'll just speak to my coach, and then the next day the fight was off again. This happened so many times in the build-up. Myself, Mike Altamira, Matt Clark were just all of us, because Mike was actually overseas at the time as well. That's so right. It was tough for all of us trying to communicate at similar time with Mike at a different time, you know, time frame, and we were all trying to, without telling you that your opponents had pulled out, we were like. Righto, boys, we've just got to keep the training going, as it is, and I'm coming in here. How's it going? Yeah, good. Oh, and we're getting ready for this one opponent. In your mind, you're watching videos of him, and I'm going, it's not even our opponent, but we just had to just keep going anyway.
Well, that's credit.
But this is the pro game, you know what I mean? It's just, that's right.
But
so look,
I don't have to take on those stresses. Oh, I'll just let you get the grey hairs.
So then we were, you know, there's things like, you know, you're gaining your sponsors, you're trying to sell tickets, you need to make your break even point, you know, all those sort of things, because obviously no one can keep going in any sort of business if they're losing. So we hit all those targets, and mate, we did good. Angelo DiCarlo helped us out with a few opponents as well, which was good. Steve Della was helping. Everybody come together and really supported us on the event to put it together and put a quality show on. It was great with Mike and MTK. We had the opportunity to show it on IFL TV, which is my favourite YouTube channel, and I know it's yours as well.
Definitely mine.
With Coogie and Cassius's channel. What have they got? 560,000 subscribers, and they showed our event live, which if anybody still wants to go back and watch Jack and Taylor and Mick and Lockie and who else was on the show? Sam Beck and Luke Travers. The show. You can go on IFL TV, go on their playlist and go on MTK Global Events, and you'll see A Night to Remember there as the last live event. So you can watch that. Mate, stress has never stopped. From that minute, you've got to put sponsorship banners together. You've got to get a roaming reporter. Well, we didn't, but there were a few different things we do. Roaming reporter, so people could go out the back and, you know, like, so this, we had the big screens on. So the roaming reporter went out the back, chatted with you guys and showed a bit of backstage, which I wanted to add a bit different to out the front for a show like that on that size. And then we had the media. We did Trad McLean from the Brisbane Broncos. Obviously a mate of ours who trains at our gym. There you go, Trad, you got to mention. We've got to bring you on the podcast too. He's been asking too.
Yeah, that'd be good, actually.
He can say from his angle what goes into this sort of stuff. But we got Channel 7. We had two lots of news on Channel 7, one on Channel 9. We had Triple M. There was a lot of interest. And it's just going to go. Oh, obviously, Courier Mail, Grantley Keyser obviously did his bit. And the local Quest newspapers. Mate, so we had a big lot of leverage, and look, that's my goal when it comes to promoting. When you're promoting events, if it's the same people that know about it, well, they're the only ones that'll come. You've got to get new people listening, new people seeing what's happening, which means media.
Yeah.
And I don't believe you can host a real event where general public come if there's no media involved, you know?
To be fair, like, not many of our... If we just limited it to the boxing community, it would have been a very, very quiet show.
Mate, to be honest, if it was just the boxing community that came, not talking about our club, because our club were there to support our club, you know what I mean? We would have had under 10 people there.
Yeah. It's crazy, though. Like, you know, you're putting on shows and...
Look, and I want to shout out to Alan Nicholson and Wayne Tolton. Those guys turned up and supported the event. Thank you very much. Everybody that came and supported, it was great. But, you know, like, it's good that our club's got good leverage, good fans, good people, you know what I mean? And we all support each other. And we had 750 people there the other night. So pretty good crowd. I think that was more crowd than we had for the last one that we did a few years ago when Damien Hooper and Paddy Murphy and all those guys fought. So, you know, we'll keep leveraging and we'll go again this year. We've booked in for November. But, you know, we're just waiting on a few phone calls. We might even go again. We'll see how that goes. But that's in, you know, we'll see how that goes.
See how the dates work out.
Yeah, that's right.
And if we can get sponsors on board and whatnot. But yeah, I really enjoyed the whole build up to it was great. Like, we obviously have, it's such a, I don't know, it's like it's just us.
Yeah.
It's such a long period of time. And then the last,
probably, all of a sudden people want to know about
it. The last 10 days, you got people coming in for media, and then you got Channel 9, Channel 7 coming in. I'm getting phone calls from like Triple M, which was, it was all great. And then we had our final press the day of weigh-in.
The weigh-in day,
So the weigh-in day. Yep. And
at the Broncos Leagues Club there.
And, like, that was an experience in itself. Like, you're sitting there and you're talking and you're trying to think, and as the reporter's asking you something, and all you can think about is water and food. And I'm just thinking, mate, I just need it. Articulate my words properly, otherwise I'm going to come across as a dick.
I'm going to sound like
a moron. But, like, when you're in that state and you can't wait, you can't string your sentences together as well. And yeah, so that was a good experience in itself. And obviously the weigh-in here at the, like, with everyone that's been around us,
and all the people in the gym all the time.
So yeah, it was a really good occasion. And that all led up into fight night. If you want to talk a little bit about that, we had Lachie Underwood making his pro debut.
Yeah,
he
mate.
Was first, and I obviously didn't see much of it. I've watched it back.
Yeah,
but yeah, he looked like he put on a class performance.
Lachie was good, and like one thing I like about Lachie is he's a little bit cautious, so he doesn't start too fast. And that was especially this guy from Papua New Guinea, resides in Sydney at the moment, but strong kid, strong, unorthodox. And if you make a mistake, if he hits you, you'll stay hit, you know. So the first round was quite slow. Lachie just gauged him. Lachie landed a couple of shots, but that was probably enough to take the first round. Every round, as I told him, you do everything right early and eventually the momentum will swing, it'll become yours. And pretty much he did everything right. So if you wanted an action-packed fight, Lachie could have turned it up in the first round if he wanted, but that wasn't going to get him the win. That could have, if Lachie had stepped forward and started throwing with this other kid who was really, really strong, well, then it's a 50-50 fight. But if you're smarter than that, why not make it a 70-30 fight and you just do the right thing?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Make it go your favour, and that's what has to be done.
To show that composure at such a... Like, he's still only young. What's he, like, 22?
22 and only 15 amateur fights.
15 amateur fights. To show that composure, mind you,
he's never
fought a southpaw in his life.
No.
In his whole career.
And in the gym, we don't even have one to work with.
Exactly. So for him to show that composure, adjust while he was in there, take his time, and he found a few big shots as well, a couple of flash knockdowns. But, a really good performance. And
hand was a peach that he knocked him down with.
Yeah, funny enough, I was sitting backstage.
Yeah.
The moment I looked up, I saw him just go, boop, and slip. Oh, mate.
Oh, you saw on the video?
Yeah. But it was just so clean. And credit to the fella, he got back up and had a fight and did a few more twirls around the ring and Lachie put him away.
Oh, yeah, he spun his back a few times. Yeah. I remember Lachie coming back after round two, I think. Rocky, he must have clipped Lachie with a shot. And Lachie comes back, goes, gee, he's strong. I said, mate, this is professional boxing. You just stay honest, yeah. and you, that's why I say to you guys, defense is the key. You can all punch,
yeah,
but you've got to know when to punch and when to do the right things. If your defense is the key, you'll go a long way, you know?
Mm. Yeah, no, class performance. And then we had, from our gym, we had Michael Black next.
So, oh, yeah, what a fight. Yeah. I knew it was going to be a cracking fight.
Yeah.
The crowd loved that one.
I don't think Nick's ever in a boring fight, to be fair.
Mate, never. He's. I started calling him Mr. Excitement, but it's what he's like. You remember from him and Reese back in the amateur days and those fights? And, you know, they stand there toe-to-toe and let him go. Like, Mick should beat everybody in front of him with a jab, but he just preferred to fight them.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I even saw his Instagram post, was it yesterday or the day before?
Yeah.
Just said, learnt so much from this fight.
Yeah.
And hopefully he can take that into the next one and just keep moving forward. And
he'll get better and better, pushing. You know.
Yeah, for
sure. He'll get better and better. And, mate, he's had 6 fights now. He's still undefeated. He's had 2 draws, actually. But, you know, I was happy with that performance. That against Victor, when I was saying I was happy, I knew it was a tough fight.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be a tough fight for me. And Victor, mate, he just non-stop threw punches. My guess was that I thought Mick was a lot cleaner, but Victor was a lot busier, and that's why I was happy with the draw. I thought, you know, whichever way you're looking, you know, you can deal with it. But what a great show that was. The crowd, everyone's saying that was the best fight. Mick called for the rematch. They probably both need a couple of weeks rest after that because they both took some shots.
Even a rest fight in between.
Yeah, like that's right. Yeah,
build up again to. To but, get you know, them to perform, so.
Who knows? Maybe we do that again at the end of the year, that rematch.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
That'd be a good fight.
That'd be cool.
Too.
And thanks to Aaron for bringing Victor up. That was, you know, that was excellent. Next up, I suppose, we had Sam Beck. I didn't see much of Sam Beck's fight.
Yeah, neither did I.
From Platinum Boxing Club. And everyone said Sam's show was excellent. Sam's fight was excellent.
Well, my girlfriend and her parents came as well.
Yeah.
They thought that was one of the fights of
the night.
Yeah, nice. So, and then I spoke to a lot of my mates who were very intoxicated at the time.
Yeah.
They all thought he performed really well as well. So they're just saying, well, obviously from a good pedigree there at Platinum, and we know Chris and obviously Rowan's over in Manchester landed last night to fight for the WBO Eliminator.
I believe it's WBO.
Super middleweight.
Yep. So against Zach Parker.
Zach Parker.
And let's go on a row now while we're here. Mate, have you seen Zach Parker much? Apparently quite straight up and down, but tall.
Yes, switches stance.
Decent fair, boxer.
He's relatively slick. I've only seen little.
Yeah.
So that's all I can go off. But,
But we know Ro is in shape too.
For sure. We all know they're going to be tough fights at that level. So, look, he's been prepared for that fight for a long time. He's obviously prepared accordingly.
If he wins, this fight, he'll go into number one mandatory position for the WBO title, which I believe is Billy Joe Saunders.
Yep.
Saying that if Billy Joe and Canelo, because Eddie Hearn's not telling us what's going on with
Well, they reckon it's between
him and Callum Smith to fight Canelo Alvarez. So
whichever golden boy whoever wants to pick, yeah.
Whoever gets it, but then if it's Smith, you would think Rowan would fight
Saunders
if he wins. Fair enough,
yeah.
He's got to win first. But if he loses, I wonder if it'll be 1 and 2. I don't know, 1 and 2. Then, if he has to vacate that,
I've got no idea.
Because the super middleweight WBO title will be up for grabs, won't it?
Yeah. So he's just got to win this fight, doesn't he? And then there's massive things for him in the
future. That's right. That's right.
But
he wins this and doors open.
Yeah, Sam Beck's from that gym, and he spars Rowan a fair bit as well.
Yeah.
So. I think that all showed on the night. You can see he's the people he surrounds himself
with. Yeah,
that's right. Helps him rise into a great boxer and a top bloke as well.
Yeah, very good.
Contact that away from him.
Mate, we'll even though we've missed it, we'll mention Luke Travers and James Langridge.
Oh, yeah.
That was a fight that, you know, two guys with not superstar records. Mate, they reckon it was a cracking fight. The boys were just going for it, both of them, and that ended up in a draw. And you always want a decision in a fight like that. But even when I went backstage, some of the guys, so and so should have got it, and some other people are saying the other guy should have got it. So, as far as I'm concerned, over 4 rounds, it's probably fair enough. If your crowd split, it was four rounds. That one was a four rounder. And big ups to Luke Travers too. Like he wanted Langridge wanted the fight at middleweight at 72. And Luke said, mate, I can only make 75. I was 91 kilos at the start of the year. So that's what Luke told me. Luke used to box, what, anywhere between 69 and 75 as an amateur. And, yeah, he's got up to 91. But as an adult, yeah. So he's obviously worked really hard to get it down. Let's hopefully those boys can both move forward now. And, yeah, I believe James Langridge's fighting Mark Gattoletta for a Queensland title in the next couple of weeks. On Damien Smith's show. Again, I'd like to thank Damien for doing the boxing ring as well. That was excellent on our event. So
Yeah,
I suppose.
That'd be a good fight.
And then next up, we had from our gym, the boxing beauty, Taylor Robertson. Or is that you? Are you the boxing beauty?
I'm more of the brains.
Not
actually.
Sure. The brains of Brisbane and the beauty of Brisbane. Excellent. Mate, the girl came in a bit heavy, but Taylor was up for it. Once she just said, let's go, you know. And I think her, you know, you take a look at her and the posters and everyone meets her, they think, oh, she looks like a 14-year-old like girl that butter wouldn't melt in her mouth. And then, mate, once you're in front of her in the ring, she unleashed, didn't she? She just went, obviously, you were out the back, but 56 seconds, her professional debut was all over.
Yeah, well, I was out the back. I thought it might, as soon as I saw the initial, like, engaging, I was like, all right, I better get warmed up pretty quick. I got the robe on straight away, actually.
Tay was up for it, like.
Yeah, good performance, and you know.
She started off quite calm, and then once she got an opening, she just went for it and just unleashed. And
I suppose that's all you got to do, isn't it?
That's what you got to do. And look, let's be honest.
We get paid for overtime, do we?
Mate, Taylor. One thing about her, she's got some great boxing skills, but she's got this heart of a lion, like which you need as a professional. She's very marketable girl, and I think she'll go a long way. I think obviously there's not as many females around in boxing in the world, never mind just Australia, so it's going to be hard to get her opponents in, but as long as she's just learning in the gym and hopefully gets four fights or so in her first year, I don't think it'll be too long before she's knocking, really climbing up the ladder and knocking on the door for big things. And obviously with MTK Global behind her, they can make things happen, which is obviously why we signed both you guys there, so we can, you know, open up doors and keep moving forward. But, mate, we'll get these guys on in the next couple of weeks. Tay and the boys and all those. Yeah, it'd be
just
good.
Just get their look into what the night was like, because I know what it felt like for me, and, yeah, just see what they felt about the night.
Next time we go and do some sparring down with Rowan and those guys down there, it might be a bit away, but we'll have a chat with Sam Beck as well. And,
yeah.
You know, because... Yeah, he brought a good crowd up from the Gold Coast, and that was excellent.
Yeah.
Very vocal. And then, there was another guy after Taylor. Jack Bowen. Do you know that guy?
Yeah, good fella, actually.
No.
Good-looking fella, boy.
No.
By all accounts.
No, the brains of Brisbane, apparently. Not the Brisbane beauty.
Definitely not the brains of Brisbane.
Mate, tell us about your stresses about your trunks and your uniform.
Oh, holy shit.
I bet you forgot about it.
Oh, yeah, no, I did. I honestly, I would not have got them if it wasn't for my girlfriend and her mum.
What's his name? Oh, Sarah. You mean Sarah, that one. Yeah.
Yeah, so Sarah and Kirstie, my girlfriend's mother, sat on the phone for, I think her mum sat on the phone for like 3 hours throughout that day.
Yeah.
Trying to get this parcel delivered to me on time. Mate, I knew it'd been sent on the Wednesday or whatever from England, and
you'd ordered this about 6 weeks prior, hadn't you?
Yeah.
So you would have thought
it's
the time would
have
been okay.
It's just the type of shit that happens. It's just part of, it's all an experience, and next time I won't have that extra stress, and I'll probably have something else to stress about.
Yeah.
It's just how it goes. Yeah. It's like the same with our opponent things, and I remember you said to me, mate, if you have to fight in a pair of green hill trunks you had from the amateurs, you're doing it.
It's
got to
be done. You've just got to win.
And as soon as you said it, and this was on the Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
As soon as you said it, I thought, fuck it. I just need to make weight. I don't need to worry about anything else in my life.
That's right.
I gave my phone to Sarah for the Thursday night, Friday, all Friday.
Yeah.
Just said, if it messages, if I need to get the package, you just deal with it.
Yeah.
And, mate, lucky I had her, because otherwise I would have been, mum probably would have got all that stress, and she couldn't deal with that, plus feeling all anxious about me actually going in and getting punched. So no, I wouldn't have been able to do it without them, but it was fucking stressful, eh?
Oh yeah.
And then so Friday night,
when the last the day before, we got some made up just so you had just something in just in case they didn't turn up.
Mum and my girlfriend went and got that done on when was that, Friday? I think we spoke
about it Thursday and you picked it up Friday, yeah.
Yeah, and you were speaking to Mum about ringing Sarah, and then I just thought, you guys can deal with it. I'm just going to, whatever mum, I turn up in.
Your mum's like, I don't want to add more stress to you, but his drugs haven't turned up. I'm like, holy shit.
I got a phone, Sarah rung me. Oh no, Sarah was talking to me and she said, we're going to get him. And then from that moment, I was just like so relaxed.
Yeah.
They came in Saturday morning. Mm. We picked them up at 10 a.m. in the morning. I pretty much got them, went back, had lunch, and went to the fight.
Yeah.
And it was just such a big relief. And everything fit perfect. Like, it looked grouse, like good material. Everything was done well. It was just the fact I got it late. And
the day of the fight.
You know what it's like. You can't stress a boxer out on fight week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the weight cuts, like doing the media and thinking, fuck, am I going to get my fight hit?
Yeah.
And just, oh, like, you think of the occasion from when I was 13 when I walked in the gym till 23 this year. All I've thought about is my professional boxing debut and starting to make a name for myself. Mm. And I've seen everyone do it. I've seen everyone make their debuts, and I've always picked at little things as well as the performance.
And I'm like, well,
I want to make this right for me.
Yeah.
And then this happens to me. And I'm like, well, you're just as bad as everyone else, Jacko. But look, thankfully, it all worked out on the day and I was able to perform. But it was good for me to go through that as well, to experience the stress and the
different things. I remember Roy Jones.
Yeah, I knew that all I had to do was perform, and that's the only thing I'm good at. I don't need to worry about organising shit.
No, no.
I just need to worry about punching people.
I remember Roy Jones, he went and played that game of basketball.
Yeah.
And his camp went so perfect up until about a week before, he actually thought something was wrong. So that's why he went and played the game of basketball before, just to get himself out of his comfort zone.
Mm.
And then he went and won the fight anyway. But anyway. If things go too smooth, you start looking around the corner, what's going to go wrong? Yeah. Something's bound to go wrong because it doesn't happen. This doesn't happen, you know?
I remember even talking to you. We were at Rochdale School about to do our class.
Yeah.
And you said, and I said, what's up, G? Because I could tell you were stressed.
Yeah.
And you're like, do you really want to know? I said, yeah. And you go, I think I might have to change the venue.
Oh, yeah. That was a week out.
It might have been two, actually. It might have been a week out. Oh yeah, the Friday. So a week
that's
out.
Right. And I it said to you, if my out, phone rings, I've got to answer it. You just take
if
over.
My phone rings, I've got to answer it.
Yeah.
I said, oh shit, don't tell me that. And then you're like, well, you fucking asked why I was stressed.
Do you want to know or not? But anyway, we got through and it was excellent, mate. It was
everything fell into place at the right time.
Yeah, that's right.
And even with the performance, everything happened. I think even like, not to speak like it's such a, it had such a big impact on me. That venue, like in my life, watching Hooper get knocked out Paddy lose there.
Yep.
And I was thinking the whole warm up, driving to the arena, we parked, and I didn't want to park in the same spot we parked that night.
Yeah,
like
plays with your mind a bit.
And I know you changed the change rooms because you didn't want the same change rooms. And I was having those thoughts too, and I was like, Jack, whatever you do, smart, good defense, listen, and don't get caught with anything stupid.
Exactly.
Everything else will work. Like, I just, it was a big thing to overcome that night, and like even down to the ring walk, and you know.
Yeah,
it was good.
So Jacko walked out to Wonderwall by Oasis, which I thought was classic because it's my favourite ever band. And everybody knows that song. You know, everybody at any age sings that song. But previous to this, how about this? Previous, I'd play it in the car. Amira didn't want to listen.
Oh, really?
My daughter didn't want to listen to it. Then now, I reckon she is every day on the way to school since your fight. She's gone, Dad, can we put Wonderwall on? She listens to it every single day. She has watched your video on IFL TV. Dad, I just want to watch the walkout again. I think she's just watching herself, to be honest. Clapping to the crowd and everything Yeah, yeah.
She looks like a Brisbane Bullets mascot.
Oh, and then she goes, Dad, you see there when he gave me a kiss? He squeezed me. It was so tight.
Yeah, I did. When I, like it, that ring walk was something like I've watched it back about 40 times. I watch it probably every day as well. So, Amira, don't worry, I do the same.
But what about?
Oh, it was just such a good moment.
Yeah.
And the song was, it was fitting. It was like.
I think it was perfect because everybody knew it, and you know what I mean.
I feel like that's something. Every time I fight in Brisbane, I definitely want to have that song.
Oh, I think so because people will get to know you by that, you know. Yeah. And oh, he's Jacko's song, and we just like the about little kids. Song thing.
And I wanted something different, and you wanted obviously something old school because you're an old bloke and that. But we figured out we met halfway and we got one because that's something all my mates sing when they're drunk
and that's what I mean.
Young kids sing and.
And that's what I mean. When you get all the classics, like things that, whatever it is, but it's if it's a song that everybody knows, you generally get everybody on board.
Yeah, for sure.
Whereas if you'd come out to hardcore gangster rap, well, anybody above 30 would go, what is this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, no,
we'll,
that was
we'll
a
pick
good
our event. Moments for that
that's
one.
That's right.
We'll pick a young crowd for that one.
Yeah, that's right. So, mate, and then I suppose on the weekend, what else did we have? We had Mikey Garcia versus Jesse Vargas.
Show, hey?
What do you reckon? Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, obviously got nothing better to do with my weekends than watch boxing. And,
even if I did, I'd probably stop it and watch boxing.
I'd probably still watch boxing.
I'd probably say, no, I'm busy watching.
I missed the Parker fight, but I saw... from Parker on.
Yeah, I briefly watched the Parker fight. He had a good performance.
I saw the stoppage. It looked impressive. So good on Joseph Parker. That's a step in the right direction. Only 28 years of age, and that's pretty young in the
heavyweight. I don't even think
he's
28. Oh, no, he probably would be. Yeah, 28. Yeah, true. I was going to say 24. No, but he's the same age as Hoops because they were all in camps together. So, yeah.
Yeah, so so it's good for him to get back on the map at such a young age, and especially in the heavyweight division, that is really young. So,
if I talk, where do you think Joseph Parker is in the top 10? Is he in the top 10 in your top 10? So if I think we've got Fury, Wilder, Joshua, Ortiz, Dillian White.
I've got White.
Ortiz.
Povetkin.
Then we've got Usyk.
Ruiz,
Chisora's thereabouts. Do you think he's on a similar level to Chisora, or do you think he's,
no, I think he's
above that?
I think he's a little bit above Chisora, but below.
I don't think he beats Usyk.
Does he beat David Price? You reckon? Does he beat people like that?
Yeah, he beats David Price.
So you reckon he's? I reckon domestically in England, like beside the top four. He's probably at that level.
Yeah.
Commonwealth.
Yeah. Saying that, he's beat Ruiz once.
I didn't think he won that fight.
I didn't either. But he has beat Ruiz once.
Well, maybe there's enough for a rematch there.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a good rematch, actually.
I think he could beat him comfortably the second time.
Yeah.
Because I think he's come on. He was only a kid.
And now, that's right. And now he's actually, on the weekend, I thought he was better than what I've seen him before.
Yeah. It's funny you say Chisora. Chisora's always in it.
Mate, I like Chisora because he could spring an upset or get stopped. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he could, like, knock somebody out or get knocked out. You know, but he'll always fight to the end.
I watched IFL TV with Dillian White and Coogan Cassius the other day. And I watched Hearn, you know, the interview he had with the turtleneck white background.
Oh, yeah.
Watch both of those. I want to get your thoughts.
Guys, and if you don't watch IFL TV... and you're a boxing fan, you're not a boxing fan. It is the best thing to do every single night when you
especially
get home.
Especially if you're in that UK.
That's right, yeah, that market.
That
yeah, that's it.
Like, just
who are really boxing at the moment. I know the Americans don't like it, but they are really boxing at the moment. Because they're now taking over America.
Yeah,
slowly. So, yeah.
So I watched those two interviews. I want to get your take. What did you think of the Wilder stoppage?
Mate,
having a Gatorade too, Gareth.
Yeah, grab me one. The Wilder stoppage. What? As far as did his trainer do the right thing?
Well, he was the backup, or he was like the assistant to the head trainer.
Well, the right decision was made. Had to be stopped. I thought Deontay Wilder was absolutely getting battered for 7 rounds. I'll take any, yeah, whatever. I honestly thought Deontay Wilder was getting battered for the whole distance of the fight. Got dropped. What about all the... Everybody was talking about him bursting his eardrum and the blood coming out of it. That wasn't the case at all. His eardrum... Sorry, they said he had like, you know, one of those stretch earrings or whatever they're called?
Yeah.
They reckon that was just blood off his earlobe. I thought Tyson Fury punched the fucking shit out of him, and that was the way it went.
He looked off balance. He looked tired, he looked fatigued. I think...
You know why?
You know what shits me about the whole thing? That Wilder's corner,
yep,
the guy who threw the towel in, I could be wrong, but I think he was an Olympian and a professional boxer. So he knows...
Somebody said he was a very good professional, but I can't remember the name.
Yeah. It's probably a bit before my time and yours. But they said he's the only one in the corner that's had a fight. He's
the
been
knowledge.
Stopped. He's been in those positions. He knows what it's like to be in that position. Mm. And he knew Wilder wasn't going to come back from it. It's all good for these people in the corner to be tough. And I think it was Eddie Hearn in that interview said, the last thing you want is a brave trainer.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's all these people that have never had a fight in their life.
He might have died.
Yeah, exactly right. Especially in that division, they're so massive.
No, mate, Tyson Fury.
I thought it was thrown in at the right time.
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't see him coming back from it.
He wasn't coming back from it, mate. He just got beaten up for, what, 7 rounds, was it?
Yeah, so I apparently sacked old mate from the.
But then again, today I saw he's back on board.
Okay, good.
He's probably calmed down and somebody's got. Mate, if he didn't stop.
He's going to be emotional about it.
Yeah, I get it.
And he's just had his, I don't know, everything he's talked shit about.
Mate, the ref was watching very closely anyway.
It would
have been stopped.
I think if they gave Fury a chance in that first fight, the ref was probably thinking, I've got to give him at least.
Yeah, fair call.
He's not as hurt as Fury was.
Yeah.
But Fury had better body language and more stability when he got up, even after that shot.
Yeah.
So, look, it was a good fight to watch. It was good to see Fury.
Who wins, AJ or Fury?
I'm going to say Fury.
Yeah. How does he do that?
I think he beats him on points. I don't think he stops him. I think it's kind of the similar story to Klitschko. I think AJ's very stood still, robotic,
and even if he moves
like he did with Ruiz, he's very upright still.
See, Tyson's got longer arms than Ruiz too. He can still catch him on the way out if he makes half a mistake.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Like his hands are all over the shop and he's moving.
Yeah.
I just think he beats AJ, but look, AJ's in it as well. So,
this would be a good fight. Eddie Hearn says AJ wins 100%.
Well,
saying that
Wilder's
he's a promoter, and you have to talk that up. Yeah, and I've just seen today that they're talking about July or something like that.
Eddie was saying, I want July so we can finish the year with the Fury AJ fight.
Oh, right.
Where they push it back to say, because if they do it in say November, December, White has been guaranteed February date. For the WBC belt.
So they're trying to get the fight in before White fights.
So they're trying to do July with Wilder if he wants it.
Yep.
Which is still, what, how many months away? 4 months away?
Yep.
5 months away? And then they will do five months.
Yep.
And then they'll do Fury AJ in, say, November, December. And then they'll do White will have the mandatory challenge for February.
Against the winner.
Yeah. Where if they do Wilder and Fury in like say October, November, then White gets the next shot, not AJ.
Yeah, right, okay.
I don't know. And White's with Matchroom as well, so it's a tricky one for Hearn to do. I think it goes to 30. Yeah, so it's a tricky one for Hearn, but I know White's been pretty loyal. Maybe he's earned that shot before.
Mate, I hope he does get a shot.
Everyone wants to see AJ Fury, so.
That's the thing.
It's a tricky one, but
you know what though, AJ Fury fights, then what's his name?
White.
Dillian White still gets the WBC title shot,
but
it still stays in England though.
Oh yeah, for sure.
With whoever wins anyway, so it's all good.
I think everyone just wants to see AJ and Fury because they feel like White's already been beaten by AJ. But
that's a big
fight. I think White's come on a long way since then. So
I think. Dillian White's a live opponent against any top heavyweight in the world.
Anyway,
I think he beats Deontay Wilder.
Well, he reckons he would have, but
But I honestly thought
I just think
that before that, I thought Deontay Wilder is more of a... I thought Deontay Wilder, I think he... Just the, how ruthless Dillian Whyte is, I think it suits him, and that fight suits him against what? Because Wilder, you've got to remember, Wilder gets hit and outboxed.
Yeah.
By everybody. Luis Ortiz.
White's been there to be hit before, too.
True.
With Chisora. But then Chisora's a better boxer. So many debates. It's just good you can have those discussions in the heavyweight division that was pretty dead for a while with Klitschko just schooled everyone.
The best part of the fight, how about the song?
Who? Fury?
Tyson Fury, when he sang afterwards.
Oh, yeah, what do you sing? American Pie.
Pie.
Yeah.
How about the crowd? Everybody. Bob Arum was singing.
Yeah, he does a good job. He's very charismatic and...
Mate, he gets people listening again.
All credit to him. The more he wins, the more MTK wins, the more I win.
That's so right.
We
opportunities.
Want Tyson to keep winning.
Open opportunities. Yeah. What about Liam Wilson's left hook?
Yeah, what a shot.
Cracking shot.
Real
yeah, that was
shot.
A good shot. He was a good opponent. That guy had a good record. Look, he'd lost to some top guys, and he'd beaten different guys along the way, some not super experienced, not. But he had a good record, built it. He'd lost to some really good guys. I think he lost in his last fight to a split decision against a former world champion. I'm sure that's what they were saying on the TV. I haven't looked at the box rate.
I think it went to decision against Jojo Diaz.
Oh, is that what is it?
Tevin Farm.
Yeah, right, okay. So, mate, but yeah, the left hook was a cracker.
Yeah, no.
Right
really
bam,
well.
Left hook and just clipped him.
Yeah. Obviously, we've had Liam on the podcast before and he's doing massive things. So, good on him. It's definitely got legs on the internet, that video at the moment. So, hopefully he can get as much exposure as he can.
It's a cracking shot, yeah. I wonder what the plan is moving forward. I wonder where... If that was for a high world ranking, that fight or not, or he might have to have a few more fights before he cracks a top 15.
Yeah, I think
was that for a title? I don't know.
I wouldn't have a clue. I honestly watched the fight. I thought it was a good performance.
Yeah.
Really composed, smart. I think Liam was always was going to transition to the pros really
well.
Yeah,
it was always his game, I think.
Yeah, and he's someone who watches pro boxing non-stop, so.
Yeah.
And training at Benny Harrington's gym. So they look like they've been putting in the work and getting their just desserts for it.
Yeah, doing
just
well.
Just doing exactly what they need to do to get in the right position.
Mate,
so well done to them.
There's a lot of amateurs that you've been around turning pro this year as well. Campbell Somerville had his pro debut the other day as well.
Too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Campbell probably... The guy put some pressure on him early.
Yeah, they reckon... Like, the thing I took away from Campbell's fight, he's about 6'3" and he made 71 kilos or something.
Middleweight, 72. They said he did it comfortably.
They reckon he reckons...
Mate, he was big at 75, wasn't he? And I thought he would have been super middle, but
yeah,
he was middle.
Just one of them boys, just a massive engine, big work rate. And look, I hope to see him go far in the pros. He looked like he drew a bit of a crowd, so...
The boys down there seem to be vocal.
Big figure in Melbourne, apparently, so good on him.
No, yeah, that's
awesome.
Good.
Who else is on that card?
Jade Mitchell, we touched on before. Jade Mitchell's apparently there's been a few personal dramas going on, but I don't know.
Apparently, he had to lose 9 kilos.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, a few issues there. So
yeah.
That's never good, but he wasn't out there for making excuses. He just said, look, give
really
me a rematch and I'll get him next time, you know? So let's hope he can, because the more success Australian boxers have, the more doors it opens for everybody.
For everyone, yeah.
Any big shows coming up?
Oh, mate, on the top of my head, I can't even think. I know Liam Paro's fighting soon on Angelo De Carlo's show.
Oh, is it down the Gold Coast?
I think at Star Casino, possibly.
Oh, yeah, nice. With
probably
go and support that.
Go and support that show. That's Dempsey McKean's on that as well. And
Jacob NG would be on it.
No,
he pulled out, did he?
Injury, yeah.
Why is he injured?
Yeah, so that's unfortunate, but
it'll still
sure
be a good show
a good
there.
Car. Good local talent on a show, and Liam's really knocking on the door of
next level.
Really,
I suppose.
Isn't he? Yeah.
You would think where he's sat at the moment. You would think within four fights he'll be really tapping on the door.
Maybe even before then.
Yeah.
I think he's ranked number two in the.
Oh, is
WBO?
He already? Well, he might
possibly
get a. I mean, this
I
might
think
be.
Angelo's done a really good job with him. So
yeah, no, so that yeah, it's been excellent.
Interesting to see where they go from here, but I know that show's on. I can't think of any Matchroom shows coming up.
I don't know. I don't know the next.
Rowan.
Yeah, oh, yeah, so it's not Rowan's show, but to us it is.
The main event.
I know who it is.
John O'Carroll versus...
And Carroll. John O'Carroll and Scott Quigg.
Yeah, that'll be a good fight, actually.
Yeah.
John
O'Carroll started his pro fights over here.
Yeah, was he?
I think he was in Perth. I thought he was in Perth. Actually, Darryl Foley's got a fight coming up too.
Well, John O'Carroll, another MTK boy as well. He did a takeover yesterday. I watched a little bit of that.
Maybe it's the same shot.
Because Scott Quigg's got a big tank.
Hmm.
They're probably both at similar stages of their career, so it could be a make or break for them both.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you would think it's the winner goes on, the loser probably stays at that, goes back to that British level, you know?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see that fight. I think Josh Kelly's got a fight coming up too as well.
Yeah, right.
I can't remember the other fella's name, but it was supposedly been talked up as a bit of a step up, so he wins that. Hearn reckons he's on to, you know, getting in the world title contention.
Isn't it funny how back in the day people... they'd have 35 fights and then they fight for world titles. But now, like, it seems to be happening a lot quicker. I'm wondering if it's because the amateur style has changed to a little bit tighter to the professional boxing now. Like, there's no head guards. What else? The 3-minute rounds and the WSB as well, which you never compete in. But WSB, they have 5 rounds and 8 rounds. I'd say they're the reasons why we're thinking it's a lot closer game now than it was... that it was previously. Remember when it was like 4-2s and it was in and out, like 2012, where it's single point, single punch?
I think, you know what I think it is? I think the Mayweather era of you have to have a zero on your record to make money or to be established is leaving.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing more massive, big fights, big cards.
Yeah.
Like Fury Wilder.
Yeah.
Both 0-0.
Yeah.
Who else can we say?
Saying that, at that, you know, top, like, level, that has to happen anyway. Like,
but you've seen it before. It's a world title now.
Mm.
I think, there's just... and, like, obviously we've seen Lomachenko come in and do it within 2 or 3 fights.
Yeah, but I wonder how many WSB fights he had, though. That's what I mean. The WSB's probably brought it closer because and eight-round fights. So at your final, I think there's an eight-rounder.
Mm.
And you do 5 rounds in the lead-up. If he did 3 seasons of WSB, well... he's probably, you know, he's had a dozen pro fights already, really, going into his second.
I do think that having the zero on your record starting to leave, like we've seen the welterweights, like Porter has lost before.
Look, Tevin Farmer.
Tevin Farmer's lost his first, four of his first.
Four out of his 11 or something like that.
So I think that's starting to slowly wind out. And it's just, if you want to be in big fights, you can be in big fights, but it comes at a risk.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
You can always get back.
That's right. You can always get back.
Even look at Chisora's had probably 8 losses.
Yeah, he might have even had more than that.
Still made money. Still had shots at world titles.
Like, yeah.
I think if you're willing to put yourself out there and take a risk, you can definitely get a reward from it. You don't have to plod along and have 30 fights against tomato cans.
Yeah, well, a lot of those 30 fights are just people to knock over. People to knock over, build that record.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I think the number's getting less and less, as you
said.
So it might be 5 people you fight, and then you take a step up.
Yeah, people are more ready for... people seem to be... well, Jeff was 16 fights against Manny Pacquiao, wasn't he?
Yeah, but in saying that, I think Jeff took some risky fights early on.
Even as an amateur, remember his first... it's like his third fight, he won the state title or something. So, yeah. Mm. Mate, but anyway, I think that's a wrap for our second podcast. I think it's a good one. A good 50 minutes there, I believe.
Yeah, thereabouts.
Mate, we'll chat next week. We'll get a guest on the show. We'll talk about their preparation. We'll let you know who it is during the week. And thanks, Jackie Bowen.
Thanks for your time, White Axe.
Thanks for listening, guys.